I almost might pick him tonight on my parlay. Just, you know what I'm saying? Just to give him that bad juju.
But hey, what you want? Let me look at it though.
All that, no rim. We back with another video. Stelta producer, Doughboy Bush, man. NBA playoffs. We are in the conference finals now, the third round of the playoffs, man. And things are starting to heat up. It's getting exciting. You know, sir. We're going to see who's going to be meeting up in the NBA finals here next. I'll probably, you know, what, week and a half or so ish, you know, maybe 2 weeks, depending on how long these respective series go. But, you know, we're gonna be competing for the NBA championship real soon, and the season will be coming down. This was a fast NBA season, man. I feel like this season just shot by, man. Just like everything else, before you know, it's gonna be NFL season. You know what I mean? But no, nah, you know what I mean. So, but yeah, before we get to the topics today, if this is your first time, please hit that sub button, like, comment, let us know what you think about the topic today, which is our predictions for the conference finals. We got the Timberwolves versus the OKC Thunder. Then we got the Indiana Pacers versus the New York Knicks. And man, you know, I feel like both of these series are gonna be good. I do feel like the Minnesota OKC series is gonna be a little more competitive. That's just my opinion, because I'll get to that in a little bit, though. I'm going to get to that in a little bit. So let's start. You want to start out west or east?
We'll start out west.
All right. So we got the Minnesota Timberwolves and the OKC Thunder. That game is tonight, 5:30 Pacific time. You know, we go Pacific time because that's where we live. We are in California. So it's going to be really exciting, man. So the Thunder are favored to win the series, I believe, right? I believe they're favored to win the series with the odds. I think tonight the spread is they're favored to win this game at home. The spread is six and a half. You know, but I mean, you cannot count out the Minnesota Timberwolves. If they steal a game on the road, you know, OKC's gonna be in trouble, and I feel like they're capable of doing it. You know, you got Ant Edwards, you got Rudy Gobert, you know, defensive player of the year multiple time. You got Julius Randle is playing. And I've always felt like he was a good player, because the Knicks, for y'all that don't know, Knicks are like my team. You know what I mean? I do support the Kings too. It's kind of weird. I know some people don't understand it. I kind of have two teams. So what? Hey, sue me. Nobody made the rules. I make my own rules. But I've always been a Knicks fan since I was a kid. So I saw a lot of Julius Randle before he came to the Timberwolves, and so I know that he's a really good player. I think he surprised a lot of people in that last series. I'm not sure why, but he did. But they got Randle and Edwards, man, and I think that's a nice little 1-2. And other guys that can get buckets. You got DiVincenzo that can shoot the three ball. He can get hot.
Daniels.
Conley, you know, don't leave him up. I feel like every time he's open in that corner, he's going to hit that open three. You know, Gobert's not really a big scorer, but, you know, he's a big body. You know what I'm saying? So you got to account for all these guys. Give me, let's just kind of talk about it, man. What do you think is going to happen in this series, and why? Who do you got winning? And let's talk about why.
So for me, man, I kept going back and forth on who to kind of pick, because I know these are both, you know, good teams that we're actually watching, smaller market teams. I know that we don't really see them a lot or too much on TV. Well, we see them a lot more on TV within like the last year or so. But yeah, for me, I got the Wolves winning this one. I think this is going to go ahead and go six. I think it's going to go six or seven games. I'll probably say, the only way I say it's seven, if somebody sneaks one on at a visiting side, if they go ahead and go visit, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I would say six games for me, and I got the Wolves winning, because it just seems like right now Anthony Edwards has the fuel underneath him right now, and the iron is hot for him. You know, especially after you got done beating LeBron James in the first round, then you turn around and come back and you beat, you know, Steph Curry and Draymond Green in the next round. You know, so with this, I feel like this is giving them a chance, you know, especially him, to say, hey, look here, you know what? I want to go ahead and, you know, try to go ahead and prove the naysayers wrong, man, and let take this leap now to actually be one of the leaders of the NBA going forward, I feel like.
Okay. Nah, yeah, man. I'm surprised you said that, because I got Minnesota winning the series too, man. I do. I like OKC, but I feel like the whole thing I've been saying about this team for the whole season, I just feel like I don't want to say the word, use the word overachieving, but I do feel like they are too Shai Gilgeous-Alexander dependent as far as his scoring. Okay. Now, I will say this, I feel like Jalen Williams has been more consistent, especially the last series, you know, with the scoring and things like that, because it was needed because they were playing a tough Denver team, and Denver wasn't even at full strength. You know, you had Gordon with the hamstring, you had Michael Porter Jr. with the shoulder injury. They weren't even at full strength, and they took them seven, and they weren't really a deep team either. You know, they were pretty much playing just six players. they were pretty much just playing six players or whatever, and still took them seven. So Minnesota is not the Denver Nuggets. I feel like they're deeper. I feel like they're healthier. And you got Anthony Edwards, man. Now, I feel like if you get top tier prime Anthony Edwards, it's not even a question. Minnesota's going to win the series.
I remember
hearing a quote by Anthony Edwards, because he people, you know, in case you weren't aware, Minnesota was in the Western Conference Finals last year versus Dallas. And I remember him saying before the playoffs started, he was saying, like, I didn't have any legs. When I got to the conference finals, I had no legs. And he was like, I'm gonna make sure that doesn't happen again. And this is before, I want to say this might have been like last summer, he said, or something like that. Like, my legs are just shot. And we kind of saw it. You know what I mean? But now I think he's ready physically. Again,
language is an urgency.
And if y'all don't remember too, Carl Anthony Towns didn't have a good series against Dallas Mavericks conference finals. You got Julius Randle now, right? I'm not saying he's better than Cat, because Cat is on my team right now. But I'm not, you know, but Julius Randle, you know, he's been balling. Julius Randle has been balling. So
Chris Finch, I don't mean to interrupt you, but Chris Finch has gotten
he's unlocked
out of Julius Randle. Yeah, he's learned how to use him. In Minnesota now, you know, and being able to tell him where to pick and choose his shots at, tell him to be a little bit more aggressive, you know, going down to the low block. And that's why I said, for me, looking at, you know, just the matchups, I mean, who's going to guard Julius Randle? I know you got two bigs in Hardenstein and Chet, and Chet's not big enough to body, you know, with Julius Randle.
He's not. They were talking about that this morning on the first show.
So what are you going to go ahead and do? You know, are you going to go ahead and start one of them? Are you going to go ahead and play both of them to where somebody's going to be a liability on defense?
Yeah.
So you got to pick and choose how you're going to go ahead and run that from a matchup standpoint. Feel like for them, they have a mismatch standpoint on that end, because
for Randle,
Julius Randle will create that mismatch either with Hardenstein, you're going to blow by him. Chet, you know what I'm saying, you're going to take him down to the low block and just body him up, you know. So with that being said, as long as they go ahead and run those two guys with their 1-2 punch, and then let everybody else go ahead and kind of pick and pop, you know, let, you know, DiVincenzo shoot from the outside, let Mike Conley shoot from the outside, McDaniels, you know, he's a defensive stopper for them, shoot from the outside. Sometimes if they decide to go ahead and clog that paint with the two Twin Towers, at least you know, okay, hey, look, I got some shooters that are around me to where I don't have to force it down here against these bigs.
Right.
I feel like, it's going to be crazy with that matchup.
Julius Randle, for this current playoffs, up to this point, he's averaging 23.9. So let's just round it up to 24 points. Averaging 24 points. He's shooting 50% from the field. He's averaging about 2 3-point shots a game. And he's averaging about 6 rebounds a game. He's playing well, and it's 6 assists. Julius Randle, he's going to be the X factor for the Timberwolves, I believe. Now we know the star, we know the guy is going to be Ant Edwards. You know, he's going to kind of carry he's going to kind of lead his team offensively, I believe. But you know, Julius Randle, I guarantee OKC is game planning right now for that guy, because like you said, that could be a matchup nightmare for Chet. I believe I don't know if it was Marcus Morris or Gilbert Arenas this morning on First Take was suggesting that
it was Gil
that was suggesting that Hartenstein should guard Randle and not Chet.
It was Gil,
but then you might have a mismatch with Chet Holmgren on Gobert. Don't get me wrong, he's not really a crazy offensive threat or anything like that. But, I mean, just to body him down, just get him low in the paint. I mean, he gets close enough to that rim, you know, he can get a little jump hook or maybe a dunk or something like that, you know. So they might try to look for that. They might try to take advantage of Chet because of his lack of girth, you know what I'm saying, and size and strength like that. Because those are two strong dudes down there with Minnesota.
Yes. Yeah, they definitely did say that on First Take that, you know, it was going to be a matchup problem with, you know, the front court. Who's going to go ahead and guard Julius Randle? You know, when Julius Randle does take them outside, you know, on that three-point line, if he uses that first step to blow by you, what's going to happen? Or, you know, if he goes down to that low block and you happen to have Chet down there and he doesn't have the size. Well, he has the size, but he doesn't have the strength, should I say, to body him down the low block. It's going to create some issues. Now, the only thing I take away, and I said it from this series, is that you and I were talking about it. I just said that with Anthony Edwards, he cannot, and I'm looking at these stats, even with the Golden State Warriors and Lakers, he cannot have these shooting slumps. He scored a couple good games. I know he scored a couple good points in these, but you can't go 8 from 15. You can't go 6 for 13. You can't go 9 for 22. You can't go 5 for 19. You know, you can't go 12 for 26. You can't go 8 for 22. So when it's inconsistent down these stretches, it's going to be a problem.
Okay.
So Anthony Edwards has to figure out how to get more efficient when it comes to shooting and getting down to the low block and when he does his drives to actually finish.
Okay.
Because you can't, I'm going to be honest with you, at this point in this lateness in the season, in the playoffs, little mistakes like this, they matter.
No, I definitely hear you on that. So, but if we're looking at the last series, right, against Golden State, Anthony Edwards, so the last game,
Six.
He made 5 3-point shots. So he shot 55% from the 3-point line. The game before that, he went 6 for 11, shot over 50%. The game before that, hit 5 for 14. The game before that, 2 for 4. So he's shooting pretty, you know, from a pretty high clip from the 3-point line. For this, for the playoffs.
And let me ask you this: do you feel like he's relying on the 3-point shot a little too much instead of getting to the actual hoop and creating these fouls and ones?
I wouldn't say relying on. I think that's just the game plan. I think the game plan is to get those 3-point shots up. You know, and you see Conley kind of doing the same thing. McDaniel's kind of doing the same thing. I think Julius Randle averages a couple 3-point shots a game. So, you know, I think that's the game plan. And if we're looking at Randle, let me just kind of look at his stats the last series. I know we kind of went over what he's averaging throughout the whole entire playoffs, but the last series, 29 points, 31 points, 24, 24.
Yeah.
And in the loss to Golden State, he scored 18. So what that tells me is if you can get Randle to score 20 and up, you're going to give yourself a pretty good shot to win the game because, you know, if you can kind of get that same output from Anthony Edwards, he's going to get at least 20 points per game just because of his shot volume.
Right.
You know what I mean? So because of that, he's going to get about 20 points a game. And if Randle can match that, which I think he can in this series, OKC's going to have trouble. Now, let's just kind of go to the OKC side of things. I know we're talking about a lot about Minnesota. I think we're talking a lot about Minnesota because OKC is favored to win. I think I don't think it's going to be as easy as some people are thinking, or just clear cut OKC, because I think they're like overwhelmingly like the favorite team to win this this matchup. But if you're OKC, what are some of the keys to this series that you think? I think early on, if I had to just throw something out there right now, I would say I feel like they have to get Julius Randle in foul trouble, get him out the game. Again, a guy we haven't mentioned, Naz Reid, can come in for him. You know what I mean?
Yes, he can.
He can hit the three ball. He could take you off the dribble. Big man. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So we didn't even talk about him. But what are your thoughts? What are the keys to this entire series for OKC, in your opinion?
Well, I say, you made two great points. If you can go ahead and figure out how to get Julius Randle to some foul trouble, possibly Rudy Gobert, you'll have a chance. Then you can go ahead and, you know, use the two centers that you have, you know, Chet Holmgren and what's called, to go ahead and create these mismatch problems on the offensive side of the ball. So that way you're not really relying too much on the scoring of SGA. You still want to go ahead and get his buckets, but you don't want it to seem like you're forcing it to him. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Now, from what I'm showing here is that, you know, the series between these two have been 2-2. So they split the season series. And I think we talked about it just a minute ago before we started filming, is that only one game was a semi blowout. Mm-hmm. All the rest of these games were close. The one game was 116-101, but the other games were, you know, a 2-point or 4-point, you know, lead. So you got to figure out if you stay in the game, keep your team relatively close to allow SGA to cook later on in the later fourth quarter, mm-hmm. then you got a chance of actually beating them. So I think it's definitely going to have to be a team-oriented game when it comes from the offensive side of the ball. So you're going to go ahead and need Chet to score a little bit more. I know he hasn't really been too productive on the offensive side of the ball.
So Chet's averaging, in his entire playoffs, he's averaging 15.7, so almost about 16 points in a night.
They're going to need more from him
averaging,
in that matter.
Averaging 9.7 rebounds, so he's productive.
Okay, it's not better.
Almost a double-double for him. This entire playoffs. Yeah, so. Yeah.
No, it's definitely not bad. I mean, they just got to figure out how to go ahead and utilize him to create some of these issues. Because like I said, I feel like if you do go ahead and get Julius Randle into foul trouble, possibly Naz Reid, because we've seen it done before mm-hmm. in the Lakers series, and get Rudy Gobert in some foul trouble, they're really not too top heavy when it comes to their front court. Mm. So once you at least get two of those guys in the foul trouble, they might have to go ahead and go small ball. Then that way you might be able to go ahead and take full advantage of it, you know, from a taller standpoint if you're OKC.
Okay.
Because I think SGA, with him being the point guard that he is, he's going to find these mismatches for you.
And he's such a tall guard, lanky guard. You know, he's going to be hard to guard. Honestly, we didn't talk about this. Who do you think is guarding him? I think Ant's going to guard him. I think Ant's going
to
guard.
Ant's going to have to guard him. Yeah. Mike Conley's not. No, Mike Conley cannot. He's not tall enough to go ahead and guard SGA.
And so Mike Conley probably going to, I mean, if we're looking at just the starting lineup, he's probably going to guard Dort, maybe. I don't know. Like,
Dort, that probably Dort.
You know, but that's going to be interesting.
Harden might switch off from time to time.
Look,
but it's going to be very interesting.
Look for that early to see about that defensive assignment, you know, see how they switch things like that. Because, you know, if they figure Ant is going to be guarding him initially, they might just try to get him in some pick and roll actions and things like that. But if you put Conley on him first, now it's probably just going to be like more one-on-one, just get to the rack, you know, and kind of take advantage of Conley. So I'm going to be interested to see how OKC does attack, you know, Minnesota, in regards to how they come out the gates, you know, with that. When you get to this point of the season, it's all like chess moves. It's a chess match. You know what I mean?
Yes, it is.
You know, and this is where you really see like who the top tier coaches are, because who can make the adjustments on the fly, who can make the adjustments over the course of a series and things like that. So, I'm looking for that, to who's going to guard SGA. Who do you think is going to guard Ant for OKC? Like a Dort, Williams?
It's probably have to be Dort. Or Williams, so, Dork or Williams, is either going to be one of them?
I think Dork, like, I mean, because we know it's going to be a team effort, but like, who do you think is going to get the assignment? Right. Like, okay, that's your man.
Mainly, I'll probably say Williams. Sorry about that.
Jalen Williams?
I'll say Williams.
Okay.
I think Jalen Williams will be the one that's going to actually go ahead and guard, you know, the bulk of it. It will probably go ahead and go through him, as long as he doesn't get himself any foul trouble or anything like that, you know, and then they'll go ahead and go from there after that to see, you know, probably switching off here and there.
Let me ask you this. So with the Western Conference Finals, do you feel like these were or are the two best teams in the Western Conference? We pretty much know OKC has been all year.
Well, they were there. They were number one all year long.
When I think about it, I'm like, Minnesota? Yeah, because who is actually better? Even though I think they were, where did they finish in the Western Conference? I forgot.
I think six or something like that. It was one. I think they were only, like I said, it was only one or two games. So I think they finished like, hold on, let me go look. I think it was six or seven.
Where did they finish? Playoff bracket. Minnesota finished.
Six.
So six, yeah. And the Western Conference was kind of like up and down. You know, a lot of teams were like, you know, one game, two games apart. So, you know, a losing streak might have knocked you down to six, you know. But when I'm looking, okay, you got, you know, Thunder, Rockets, and then you had the Lakers, then you had the Nuggets, Clippers, you know, Timberwolves, Warriors, and the Grizzlies. So I would say Timberwolves are probably the second best team, you know, in the Western Conference. I know people were higher on the Warriors than I was. I really didn't believe in them. Rockets, they were number two, but I felt like that was just, you know, throughout the course of a season, it's easy to catch teams off guard by just by playing defense and playing hard defense. That's one thing they did
right.
But when you get to the playoffs, it is, you know, things get a little tighter and you got to be able to find ways to score in tighter settings, tighter spacing. And in the half court, I feel like that's where they struggle. So I don't feel like they were actually the second best team. I do feel like these are the two best Western Conference teams by the matchup.
Well, I kept saying that, you know, the Wolves were a team to look out for. You know, as long as they could go ahead and stay healthy, like most teams. But you just see Ant play with a different type of energy this year.
Intensity,
you
know?
Then you had Julius Randle that's actually buying into this team ball that Finch is kind of preaching to him. Mm-hmm. Because before, and let's just be real, man, Julius Randle, he's a great ball player, but he was very, very erratic.
He started off a little slow this season.
He did. He definitely did a little bit. But he found his groove, though. He eventually found his groove. Mm-hmm. And it actually started to mesh well towards the middle end of the season to where they started to make their run.
Like the chemistry was a little off in early on.
Yes, the chemistry. Mm-hmm. And I tell you all the time, when teams make a late run and the chemistry starts to get, you know, better as the season goes on, those are teams you actually want to look out for and be like, all right, hey, look here. They're a sleeper team. There's not too many people who are talking about them. From this standpoint, we need to go ahead and watch out.
Yeah, no, for sure. How many games? You got Timberwolves winning the series, right?
I'd say this is going seven.
Seven.
Timberwolves.
Seven.
Yeah.
I'm going to say T-Wolves and six.
Okay.
I'm going to say T-Wolves and six, man.
So it's best for them to go ahead and close it out in Minnesota and not play with their food. Then I take it.
Don't play with your food.
And I think it's a game. Don't play with your food. And don't take it to a game seven in OKC.
I feel like roster for roster, Minnesota is a better team.
Yes, they are.
I feel like that.
They are.
Now, record for record, of course not. But, you know, OKC just got the number one. But if we're going roster for roster, you got, again, yes, Ant Edwards, Gobert, Randle, DiVincenzo, you know, McDaniels, Reed, Mike Conley, Alexander Walker. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I just feel like right now they have a good solid eight players that can come in and, you know, really not going to be too much of a drop off defensively or offensively. But, you know, like, I mean, Ant Edwards right now is averaging 40 minutes in the playoffs. Randle's averaging about 38 minutes. McDaniels averaging 36. Nas Reed.
So they're top heavy as far as minutes
go. They're playing minutes. Like, so, you know, if they can stay out of foul trouble, if you could keep Randle.
Going back to
what I said a little bit ago, I feel like for OKC, you kind of want to attack Randle, get him in foul trouble, and get him out of the game. But again, you still have Nas Reed who can ball too. So, you know, it's kind of like pick your poison, because now if you have Nas Reed in, he's more of a, okay.
He can shoot.
And he can put that ball on the floor. I mean, the way he almost plays like a guard, I don't know. He might have had you know what I mean? Like, remember when they said Anthony Davis, like, just he was a point guard and all of a sudden he just shot up in height?
Right.
I wonder if Nas Reed had that same thing, because he plays like a guard to me, like, sometimes.
He does.
So that's going
to
be a tough one.
Bring the ball up and be like, hey, look, you know what? I'm about to go ahead and be point forward.
No,
take it all the way down. You know what I mean? To give me a bucket, you know, on the other end. So,
for sure.
I agree.
No, for sure. So, yeah. So we both got Minnesota. I'm surprised, man. I don't know why I'm surprised you got a Minnesota. I thought you was going to pick OKC.
Nah, man. I like I told you, I like the way they're built.
Okay.
I like the veterans. They got the veterans around them. Like you said, you got the Rudy Gobert is a four-time defensive player of the year?
I know at least two.
You know,
maybe three. He's got a few, yeah.
Yeah, so you got him. You got the veteran in Mike Conley. You got a veteran in Julius Randle to help out some of these young Bulls. You got, you know, shooting in DiVincenzo and McDaniels and Edwards. So it seems like they got a well-balanced team, I feel like. I just feel like, okay, see, they're just a little bit – they're younger right now. And I don't think they have that veteran team that's going to be able to – that's not going to be able to pull them up to be like, hey, look, you know what? This is how you guys do this, young bull. Let's go ahead and try to do X, Y, and Z, you know? So it's going to be interesting to see how this matchup is going to go ahead and go. I do feel like it's going to be evenly matched. I do feel like this is going to be a great series. Mm-hmm. Something that you probably do not want to get away from your couch and get up and blah, I'll be back.
No, you're going to watch this. I do hope. You just said something too. I do hope that, because I feel like each series we've seen like these crazy blowouts, and it's like, I don't know if these other teams get like discouraged. I'm like, we'll come back next game. No, like, stop these blowouts. No. But I do, and we talked about this before, I don't want to get too deep into it, but I feel like refs sometimes kind of like perpetuate and kind of like help some of those teams, like, build those big, and it's like, refs, we didn't come to see you. Let the players play.
No.
Don't throw like a big flagrant foul, you know, call like a big flagrant foul in a crazy moment that could be a common foul. You know, don't pick and choose who you're going to call the fouls for. Like, let them play. Let the teams figure out who the better teams are and play. I don't like when reps like put their hands in the pot too much.
Yeah, no.
You know,
yeah, no,
I hate that because whether people want to admit it or not, that has affected a lot of these blowout games that we've seen. It does. Right, you know what I'm saying? So just lay back and like, okay, like, you know, do your job. You know, I'm not saying that, but
my last point to piggyback off of what you're just saying right now is that when you look at this, right, and I'm looking at these numbers right now, as far as from a playoff standpoint, they have Minnesota ranking from a defensive rating at 106.8.
Mm, okay.
They have OKC ranking at 101.6.
Mm.
So they're right there neck and neck when it comes to defense.
Yeah.
So it's going to be very interesting to see how this is going to go ahead and play out because it seems like they both play hard defensively. Mm-hmm. These refs can't dictate control of that.
Nah, please don't do that.
You got two great when you got two great defensive teams playing against each other, don't add the extra stuff that necessarily need to be added. Do not.
Don't do that. Let's go out east, man, real quick. I know we kind of like dive deep into that series, but let's go all east. We got the Pacers and the Knicks. Now, needless to say, I have the New York Knicks winning the series, but here's the thing, right? And I've been saying this. I think I kind of talked about it on the last session that we did on here. I feel like people are being prisoners of the moment with the Indiana Pacers.
Yes.
I'm not knocking them. Good team, because you don't get this far by being a trash team or a bad team.
Right.
But I feel like they've caught some breaks. First, you know, the first round, you had the blood clot with Dame Lillard.
Yeah,
then he came back.
Yeah,
you know, he tried to come back and help his team, popped his Achilles. You know, and then once you get past Dame and Giannis, I mean, you have Bobby Portis or whatever, but like after that, it's kind of, and that's one of the reasons why they're getting ready to trade Giannis, I believe, because that team is kind of strapped for cash and they don't really have a lot of flexibility in what they're who they could bring in, you know. But you needed Dame that series. Would that have been a different series?
Yes.
A fully healthy Dame? I think it would have. Not sure the Pacers would have beat them. Now you go to the next round. Cleveland, I think, was playing with their food those first couple of games. I feel like Cleveland's roster and their players are better than the Indiana Pacers and their players, talent for talent, bar for bar. We're talking about, you know, position for position. Cleveland Cavaliers are a better team than the Indiana Pacers. Definitely. And they also had injuries. Garland had the big toe injury. So it's hard to run on that. Mobley, I forgot, was his shoulder? I forgot what Mobley had going on. But Mobley, I think he was out of game. So you had, between Cleveland just kind of playing,
Donovan Mitchell that was hurt too as well.
Yeah, between Cleveland kind of playing with their food, between the injuries and then that last second shot, that Halliburton, that was kind of like deflating. Again, credit, you play who's in front of you. You know, if you're the Pacers, you do your job. But I don't feel like they were better than the Cavs. So now you're in the Eastern Conference Finals playing a fully healthy New York Knicks, knock on wood, that nobody gets hurt in this series, because I would hate to see that, but we've seen it happen. It's been kind of the consistent thing. You know, we saw Tatum get hurt last round.
Definitely.
We've seen Lillard get hurt, the Cavs situation. Anybody get hurt? Like, Steph Curry, Warriors.
Curry got hurt.
I think Luka was like sick or something. Like, so we've had different things.
Luka hurt his back. Jimmy Butler's back.
In the Rockets series, even though they won that series, you know, maybe that was kind of lingering for the following series. You know what I mean? So, you know, it kind of happens.
Definitely.
You know, so again, knock on wood, I hope nobody gets hurt for the Knicks this series. I'm not saying I want anybody hurt for the Pacers either, but I mean, I don't think, you know, if the Knicks could stay healthy, I feel like they are a much better team. Let's kind of go through these stats. Jalen Brunson is averaging 28.8 in his playoffs. Karl Towns averaging 19.8 and Anobi 15.8. Mikal Bridges 15.4, Josh Hart 13.2. So you got, you know, about six guys, you know, pretty much, or excuse me, five guys averaging double figures. Here's the thing about the Knicks. They're not really going into their bench. Typical Tibbs rotation. because when you look at the bench, it's like McBride, Mitchell Robinson, yeah. You know, Precious Achiuwa, you know, those are like the first three off the bench, and nobody else is really playing after that. Cameron Payne's not playing. Shamus not playing. What's the name? DeLauren Wright, I think it's like something Wright.
I'm curious to know the reason why Cameron Payne is not playing. I thought when you got him in that trade, it was to allow him to get more playing time. You know, and it seems like he hasn't.
And I'm not mad to see P, because sometimes he can come in and get hot from three. I've seen him do that. Yeah, but, you know, yeah, so the Knicks, they're kind of top heavy, you know what I'm saying? But
yes, they are.
But again, if they could stay healthy, I got them winning this series in five. I don't want to say the word respect, but again, I think people are being.
You don't respect them.
Let me expand on that real quick.
Go ahead.
I feel like, again, just kind of go back to what I just said. I feel like they've had some favorable things going their way the last two series. Right. Again, you play who's in front of you, not knocking them for that. But I just don't feel that they're a top four team in the NBA. And that's why I asked you that question for a reason. I'm like, do you feel like the two best teams in the West are playing right now? Remember I asked you that a minute ago? Because I wanted to ask you about this. I'm like, I don't feel like the two best teams in the East are playing.
No, they're not. Not at all.
Really? Well, I mean, really, the two best teams just played last series. The Celtics and the Knicks. Those are the two best teams. So they had to play each other in the second round. It's just kind of the way the seeding went. But I just don't feel that the Pacers are a top four team in the NBA.
Yeah, like, because when you look at the, you know, you gotta look at what the Sixers did and what they went through with Paul George getting hurt.
Embiid hurt.
They might have been in the
playoffs.
Maxie got hurt. So I think that, yeah, with Philly not being there and them not playing,
I think the Heat would have been in the mix in the East. You know what I mean?
They would have, yeah.
You know, we talked about Dame Lillard. I really feel like the Cavs and the Knicks. I don't want to say should have been, but I feel like to me, those are the two best teams that were left, you know, in the playoffs.
Okay.
So I feel like, again, I don't want to say they don't belong there.
That 5-1, though? Come on, man. That 5-1,
Games? Five games, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like the Knicks are that much better than this team. I do.
Wow, bro. Have you been seeing the way Halliburton's been playing?
if you really want to talk about that, Halliburton hasn't really been consistent in this playoffs at all either.
No, he has not.
If anybody does like daily fantasy, if anybody does parlays, man, y'all know, like, it's like a running joke. I've seen so many memes about, like, you know, like, like, you'd be like, Tyrese Halliburton when I pick him, and it's just like it's some bum, you know what I'm saying? You know, some bum dude on the court, whatever, because like he's just not consistent. So I almost might pick him tonight on my parlay, just, you know what I'm saying, just to give him that bad juju.
But hey, what you want to look at it though. Damn, you called from that one, man. I'm going to go ahead and block your account, man, so that way you can't make that bet on the bro. You're probably trying to put some bad voodoo, man, on you, man. Real. You know what I mean?
For me, on this,
I feel like it's going to be a tough, hard series. I feel like this is probably going to go six games.
That's fair.
When you look at the front court, I feel like the front court is just as evenly matched with New York when you have Scott. Siakam and Miles Turner, bro. Come on, man. You don't think Siakam and Miles Turner can go ahead and create some issues for that front court?
Good NBA players.
I mean, hey, look, you know, because once you put Cat to the bench, who's gonna go ahead and come in?
Mitchell Robinson.
You know,
he played defender, rebounder.
Defender, yeah, good defender for sure. You know, so I mean, if you go ahead and get good productivity out of Pascal, because Pascal's been averaging 20.9, I think, during the playoffs, and you really don't really rely too much on Halliburton unless you really, really need him.
Well, Pascal, 18.8 for the playoffs.
Oh, 18.8 Pascal. Okay, for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and then what? Halliburton's averaging
17.5.
And then what's the average in assist wise?
9.3.
I'm talking about the assist too as well.
9.3.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I just seen it too as well. So as long as you have a great facilitator like him and what he's doing right now, you know, it takes off some of the load on him to actually have to be that scorer when you got these other guys, you know, being productive for you. Now, like I said, yes, is Halliburton inconsistent? For sure. But the thing about him, it's just like playing craps. You just don't never know when you're going to hit with that boy. Mm-hmm. When he does hit, especially on games that matter, then it takes them to the next level. And I'm going to be honest with you. I feel like they're riding on a high, and they feel like they got something to prove because they felt like, hey, look, you know what? People probably look at us. We shouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. They're looking at us like, hey, we should have been knocked out.
Well, not everybody. Round. Some people buy it. I don't buy it. But some people, some people are buying it.
But some people do. Some people do.
Some people are buying it.
So, I mean, for me, I think, like I said, you know, it depends on what the front court does on both these teams. That front court is going to really matter in dictating control the series, I feel like. Because you're going to get great guard play out of, you know, Halliburton and out of, Brunson.
Okay.
You know, so, and then if you got Josh Hart, you know, that's going to go ahead and play like he's been playing and things of that nature, pop up, shoot, play some defense. It can create some issues. I feel like it's going to really rely on that front court.
I slightly disagree with that take. I think it's going to rely for the Pacers. I feel like it's going to be a lot of Nembhard and Naismith.
Yes.
They're going to need those two guys to play well.
Yes.
And I feel like when you're playing against Josh Hart, Mikal mm-hmm. Bridges, and Anobi, it's going to be hard for those two guys to go off on them. You know what I mean? So I don't feel like they're going to have the series that they've had, you know, against Cavs and against the Bucks. You know what I'm saying? Each of those teams. I don't think they're not going to play as well as they've had against the Knicks in this series. And I feel like you're going to need them to do that in order to win this series. You know, they've been looking decent because, again, we look at the Bucks. Who's really out there guarding them for the Bucks right now? Who was out there to guard them? You know what I mean? So
we can't even
think of a name. You know what I'm saying? No, hold that thought though, because I want you to say what you got to say.
Go ahead.
When you go for the Cavs, you know, you had Garland who, you know, didn't play a game, and then when he's out there, it's harder. Right. Again, I've hurt my big toe. I couldn't even walk. So I can't even imagine trying to play an NBA game and guard somebody and get somebody in front of you and stay in front of them with a hurt big toe.
Right.
So you had that. Nembhard and Naismith, I feel like those are the two that they need, and I don't feel like they're going to have the success that they had in the last two series. So what was your point?
I said it's a great point that you just made when you said that, you know, in looking here, another stat line that I'll throw out there is that right now in overall defense, Indiana is ranked number one. So it goes back to what you were saying. Mm-hmm. Who do they really play against? For them to be the number one defensive team mm-hmm. right now in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You know, you have the Knicks at number two, you know, overall mm-hmm. in defensive rating two as well. So, I mean, like you said, who have they played? Who's guarded them, you know, to create
this is going
to
be their toughest issues. Challenge up to this point.
Yeah, definitely. So for me, I'm going to be honest with you. I feel like this, and I love this rivalry. I love it because it brings back our era mm-hmm. of the 90s.
Reggie Miller. Bring that type
of thing. Yes,
Ewing, man, with the John Stars
and Patrick Ewing,
Antonio Davis,
the
Davis brothers,
Mark Jackson, you know, and Reggie and Rick
Rick Smits,
Smits. You know, when you got players like that, you know, to create that rivalry that they once had in the 90s, man, in the early 2000s, that was a time to go ahead and just really sit down and hone in, like, oh man, let me watch this game because we don't know what's going to happen in this series. We don't know what's going to go ahead and take place. You know, and I know it still breaks your heart with Reggie Miller scoring him, 8 points in 13 seconds. Got to bring that up to you, brother. So you better hope that
you know what's crazy?
That same issue.
I was watching that game live. I was watching that game live in my bedroom, and I was like, ain't no way. Ain't no way. And he did. So
you better hope that Halliburton does not recreate a Reggie Miller. It's been shown. He's proven that he can go ahead and get some buckets really quick in really, really pivotal moments of the game. So
you know what I'm hoping with the Knicks, though? The one thing sometimes I see, and you know, we always talk about this, not just with the Knicks, but just with teams in general. Don't play to your competition. Play up to your standard. Play to your full capability and abilities. Yeah. Because if you do that, I don't think it's any question that the Knicks are better team. Like, just play at a high level. Don't play with your food. And if you get down, don't be like, let it be. I just feel like some of these teams in the playoffs that I've seen, like, it's a blowout. We got another game. No. Play easy game like it's your last. Play easy game like it's your last game. Don't play with your food. Now, the series is starting in New York. So you feel like the Pacers are going to steal one? Did you see those fans in Madison Square Garden?
Man, they was going crazy.
Do you feel? They were going crazy. So do you feel like? All right. So do you feel? Because you know,
shout out to Halliburton for going ahead and getting that man them tickets too as well. Because that he didn't deserve that at all.
You know that the Knicks and MSG, they're gonna have that same energy. Probably it's gonna be probably another level. Be honest. Do you really think the Pacers can steal the game in that environment?
Yeah, I feel like they can.
Okay.
I don't know if it's gonna be the first
to do that. You're gonna have to blow them out. You're gonna have to. If it's a close game, you're not winning those. If they play two close games in MSG, you're not winning those. You're not winning either one of those. The Pacers are not winning a close game in MSG in game one or game two.
Okay.
You have to blow the Knicks out.
Okay, so you feel like that New York's going to go ahead and win two at home.
And it's going to be 2-0.
And they're going to go ahead and steal one.
And then the Pacers are going to have to win four out of the next five.
Five, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, for me, man, I know I'm talking a lot about, you know, Indiana and them being somewhat of a sleeper good team right now, especially in these playoffs. And like I said, no disrespect towards them, you know. You know what I'm saying?
See, people gotta realize that reality and context is not disrespect. Like, you do have to look at that Bucks series and look at, okay, they did not have Dame. Right. You do have to look at that Cavs series and be like, okay, they had two of their main players who were out, you know, at least two games. Plus, when they came back, they weren't fully healthy. Again, a big toe. How do you play defense on that? How do you run up? How do you get your explosion? How do you get your step, your first step? It's hard to do that. You know what I mean? So, yeah, you do have to look at that. And the Pacers are fully healthy. Nobody, they have all their guys. You know what I'm saying? So, right at that point, it's kind of like an attrition thing, like, again, but see, the two teams that are playing right now, they got all their guys. Knicks got their guys. Pacers got their guys. Yeah. So they're coming up against a team who is fully healthy, who has all their guys. Please, again, knock on wood, nobody gets hurt, you know, and then we're going to see who the better team is. If you beat the Knicks.
Hey, I'm going to go ahead and go six games, man, and I'm going to say the Knicks are going to go ahead and get it.
Okay, that's fair.
Go six games, Knicks.
Okay.
You know, I'm
going to stick with the five because I don't feel like I don't feel like the Pacers can win in MSG with that energy. It's going to be hard with them to playing against that, bro, that crowd. That felt like, you ever watch those, like, do you ever watch those European, like, I don't watch it often, but like those European football games, it felt like that to me.
Them stadiums be rocking for sure.
It felt like that in MSG.
Well, you got to understand, man, Madison Square Garden is a tough place to go ahead and play.
Mm-hmm.
They do have their fan base who was really, really heavily rooted into what they got going on, you know, and they were doing this even when they did have down moments, you know, of them not really being good. So does home court advantage play a factor into it? For sure. Does the intensity level from the fans up it for the players? For sure. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, if Indiana does stand a chance to actually push this to a 6 or 7 game series, they're going to have to figure out a way to at least get one or two games in New York.
They're going to have to. Honestly, you got to figure that out. Yeah.
If you don't, then you know, you can go ahead and start packing it up, get ready to go ahead and take your vacation, wherever you got to go ahead and go and go from there. Before, you know, but it's going to be interesting. And like I said, don't be surprised if New York falls the one in New York, because we said it before, they play down the competition. So I'll be surprised.
All right. So before we get up out of here, I just kind of want to talk about just these last four teams. We're getting a brand new NBA champion this year.
We are.
We're Halliburton, Brunson, Anthony Edwards, or Shai Gilgeous is going to get their first NBA championship. That's exciting, man, because this is kind of like the changing of the guard from these young guys. Because these are the young guys we've been looking at, like, oh, like, and now we're finally here to where somebody's going to get that first ring. So this is kind of like, this is a big year for the NBA. I don't know if people really are thinking about it like that. Like, this is a really big year because you had Curry get knocked out. You had Bron get knocked out. Yeah. You had Jokic get knocked out. You had Giannis get knocked out. You know, you had Jimmy Butler get knocked out. All these old guys are getting knocked out. KD didn't even make the playoffs. Embiid didn't even you know what I'm saying? So, like, these are four young juggernaut, you know, players. So what I wanted to say was, out of these four players, whose legacy do you feel like it would benefit most to get an NBA championship? That's the last question I want to ask before we get up out of here. Anthony Edwards, Shea Gilgeous. Hold on. Anthony Edwards, Shea Gilgeous, Jalen Brunson, or Tyrese Halliburton. Whose legacy has the most to gain?
I mean, they're all, damn. That's a good question. I'm torn between Brunson and Edwards.
Me too.
Yep. And the reason why I say the Brunson situation is because he left a team that actually went to the finals, or was it the year before they went to the Western Conference Finals,
right? They didn't want to pay him. Because Dallas didn't want to pay him. He wanted to stay in Dallas.
Right, he wanted to stay, right. So he left, went over there to New York. This is before the Cat trade had happened. And cemented his stuff over there as being a up-and-coming superstar to watch out for. Anthony Edwards, you know, we've been known about him. But the thing about him and that I like the most that I've been seeing of lately is he's been taking the step up. He's been elevating his game. It seems like every playoff series he's been playing. And I'm gonna be honest with you. If I was a betting man, I'm gonna go ahead and go stick with my word. I'm gonna have to go ahead and say Ant Edwards, man. You know, if Ant Edwards gets this, you're gonna have to start looking at him and be like, hey, look, man, how can we go ahead and get him to be the face of the NBA?
All right, so I agree with that last point. That last point was why I have Ant and Brunson, but like I kind of had to go back and forth in my mind. Okay, ooh, Ant Brunson.
I was going to say
Brunson Ant, because when Ant, again, your last point was going to be my main point for him. We're already looking at him like, can he be the face of the NBA? Yes. Is he the next face in the NBA? Because they're looking for that. You know, I know a lot of people are saying Wimby, but Wimby's not here yet. Maybe he'll get here, you know, in a year or two or three. You know, maybe he'll kind of be in the next group of guys to kind of make a run, you know, because we've seen Shea this year. This is Ant Edwards' second run. Because he was in the Western Conference Finals, so he's going nowhere. Hopefully, he stays healthy for the next 10 years, and you know, but he's going to be hard to beat. But Jalen Brunson, if you win a championship for the New York Knickerbockers, I don't think it gets no bigger than that. I don't, because I feel like his legacy would be. He would benefit most from winning a championship out of those four players.
Okay.
The Knicks.
Okay.
Because they've been dying for a championship. When was the last championship? Yeah. Was some 1950 something? Like, when was the last time?
It's been a long one for sure.
The 1973.
Yes.
1973. If he is able to bring the New York Knicks a championship, I think that's bigger than anything these other four guys can do at this point of their careers. You know, I do. Then I would say Ant second, because again, the face of the league thing, the face of the NBA.
Well, that's what I said.
Then I would say Halliburton, because
yes,
kind of like the little engine that could nobody believe we can get here, you know, thing.
They still got the joke about him, or they still got the thing about him as being overrated player.
Right. So that's why I would say third for him. And Shea, I would say fourth. Right. And I got if I had to pick an order, and people were like, man, Shea fourth. But I would say Shea fourth because I feel like OKC's OKC's going to be here for a while. I feel like they're going to continue to tool that roster. They're going to continue to compete next year. Like, they're all young. That's the thing about them, bro. Yeah. The vets, like, who? Hartenstein? Oh, 6 years? Seven? Like, oh. Like, they're young. Yeah. So, like, they're not going nowhere. Yeah. You keep adding to that, you know. So, I feel like he's going to kind of be there. I feel like they'll have another run next season. But, man, Brunson winning a championship in New York. He's getting, if he does that, he's getting a statue.
Oh yeah, king of the city. They gonna give him the key to the city.
So,
real talk.
Nah, that's a real fun, real fun conversation. We want to get up out of here, but we're excited to watch these two conference series. Again, we both have the Knicks, and we both have the Timberwolves winning, going to the NBA Finals. But we kind of disagree on the amount of games. Well, who did you say? I said Timberwolves in six. I think you said Timberwolves in seven.
Yeah.
And I said the Knicks in five, you said Knicks in six. So we're going to see. And then, you know, we'll kind of talk about, maybe we'll kind of hit y'all with another video, like in the middle of both of these series. Maybe after the first two games. I don't want to hit y'all like, you know, after each game, but maybe after the first two games of each of these series, we'll come back. We'll kind of talk about, you know, where the series, each of those series are, and where we think they're going from there, you know. And then we're going to get back at y'all, man. On that No Rim, Doughboy Bush, Stell the producer. like, comment, subscribe. Please comment what you guys think. We'd love to know what you guys think about these two series. And we're going to get back at y'all, man. Peace.